All right, I'd like you to take your Bibles tonight and turn to the book of Proverbs, Proverbs chapter 4, Proverbs chapter 4, and I'll be reading one verse, Proverbs chapter 4 and verse number 23. Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 23. The Bible says, "Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life." Let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank you once again for your word. Thank you for the privilege we have to hear from you. And I pray that you would help us all to apply your word to our lives. Lord, we know that your word does the job, and I pray that you would speak by the power of your Holy Spirit, and that you'd help us to discern and to apply, but that you remove any distraction and any hindrance, Lord, and may you be honored and glorified through everything that takes place. Give me the words you'll have me to say. May they be a source of strength and edification to your people here tonight. And if there's someone here who does not know you as his or her personal Lord and Savior, may tonight be the night of their salvation. We'll thank you and praise you for it. In Jesus' precious name I pray. Amen. In the Our Daily Bread devotional, dated June 7th, 1994, a story is told of a man who loved old books. He met an acquaintance who had just thrown away a Bible that had been stored in the attic of his ancestral home for generations. "I couldn't read it," the friend explained. "Somebody named Guten something had printed it." "Not Gutenberg," the book lover exclaimed in horror. "That Bible was one of the first books ever printed. Why, a copy just sold for over $2 million. His friend was unimpressed. "Mine wouldn't have bought or brought a dollar. Some fellow named Martin Luther had scribbled all over it in German." The moral of the story is, when you don't know the value of something, you will not treat it with the care it deserves. And even more tragically, underappreciating things of great value can lead to losses that might never be recovered. In the book of Proverbs, chapter 4 and verse 33, a very familiar verse and a very short one, it is worth repeating. It says, "Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life." This verse here in Proverbs, making a statement, and the indication is very clear that there is something that we ought to treasure. There is something that we ought to guard with all diligence, because if we do not, the consequences and the ramifications are huge. This thing that this verse is indicating that we ought to understand is of great value and very valuable is the heart. The heart. I want to preach a message tonight that we're entitled, "What is the value of your heart?" What is the value of your heart? If you did not get the story, and maybe wouldn't appreciate it as much as someone who maybe understand that this Bible that was lost in this attic or uncovered eventually was something that was of great value. And even after it was indicated that this was something of great value, the individual showed his continued ignorance by indicating some fellow named Martin Luther scribbled German all over it, not recognizing that probably caused the value of the Bible to quadruple. And the ignorance of not understanding value is tragic. The question tonight is, do we understand the value of our hearts? Do we understand that the Bible says here, out of it are the issues of life? The writer here, King Solomon, says, listen, your heart is of great value, and you need to keep it with all diligence. He says you need to protect it. You need to guard it. And tonight I want to point out two very simple things found in this verse as we continue this series entitled Wisdom from the Word. Wisdom from the Word. It is imperative that we understand the worth of our hearts. The worth. What is your heart worth? Well, the first thing I want you to notice that when it comes to our heart, the writer here is indicating very clearly, and I trust we understand that, our hearts are priceless in value. They're of priceless value. We want to be able to point out here tonight a number of things that underscore this statement, that our hearts are priceless in value. The first thing I want you to understand, and you could write this down under priceless value, is the fact that there is the issue of identification. Identification. You say, Pastor, what do you mean? Well, Proverbs chapter 23 and verse 7 says, for as a man, or as he thinketh, referring to a man or a woman, in his heart, so is he. Amen? It simply means here that our hearts are the very seat of who we are. Oftentimes we look at our exterior and we look at our differences in appearance and how we dress and our different shades of skin color and our different textures of hair. And we put more stock into those things or even our different varying abilities and talent. But at the seat of who we really are rests in our heart. Now, the heart here is not referring to our physical heart, but it's referring to our intellect, our emotion, our will, our intellect, how do we think, our emotion, how we feel, our will, what are we driven to do? There's a statement here that I'm reading and I'm quoting from a book that says, heart is used in Scripture as the most comprehensive term for the authentic person. It is the part of our being where we desire, deliberate, and decide. It has been described as the place of consciousness and decisive spiritual activity. The comprehensive term for a person as a whole. His feelings, desires, passions, thought, understanding, and will. And the center of a person. The place to which God turns, end of quote. Understand that the heart is where you are the real you. The heart is what identifies us, the value of our hearts. It's wrapped up in the fact that the heart is a place of identification. You want to find out what kind of person you really are, you must examine your heart. Amen? It's a place of identification. But notice, not only it's a place of identification, but notice what makes it so valuable is that it's a place of incubation. Incubation. Now, when we talk about a baby being, or something being in an incubator, you have the indication that it's at a very initial state of existence. It's where something is developed from its very inception. When I say the heart is a place of incubation, I simply mean that it's the place where every action gives birth. Long before that action manifests itself, it incubates, it develops, it starts, it begins in the heart. Amen? Attitudes rather, that leads to actions begin in
The heart.
It's very important that we understand as we look around at our society and we lament the criminality, the violence, the disregard for human life and for others, these actions that manifest themselves in terrible ways, they all begin in the heart. The heart is a place of incubation. And oftentimes we are caught up with the things that people do, but we're not caught up with the attitudes that began in the heart. That is why Jesus in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 28, he says, "But I say unto you, that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her, hath committed adultery with her already in his heart." Jesus says, you all are focused on the exterior. You're focused on the things that you can see with the human eyes, but you're not focused on where these things start, and they begin in the heart. In our singles or young adult Sunday school class, we're talking about the matter of lust, and we're talking discussing the book of James. And James chapter 1 and verse 14 to 15 says, "But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed." And verse 15 says, "Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death." That lust that is referenced there begins in the heart. It said it's conceived. It's conceptualized in the heart. If you can focus on where that conception takes place, you won't have to worry about how it manifests itself in terrible ways. It says, when it's conceived, it bringeth forth sin. This heart is a place where those attitudes that are hidden from the human eyes begin. If we can address it at that stage, we would avoid ourselves many problems. But this heart is a place where the incubation takes place. The heart is a place of identification. It's a place of incubation. But I want you to notice, interestingly and importantly, the heart is a place of manipulation. Manipulation. You say, "Pastor, what are you referring to?" I'm referring to the fact that an attitude can exist in the heart one day, and the next day, because of external forces or external factors or even internal factors, that heart, that thought that was initially a good one can be changed. It can be manipulated. I want you to turn with me in your Bibles to 1 Kings chapter 11, and you'll see an example, coincidentally, of the very writer of the book of Proverbs. In 1 Kings chapter 11 and verse number 1, notice, Bible here talking about King Solomon. Remember, Solomon was referred to as the wisest man who God had endowed with wisdom, and because he had asked for wisdom as opposed to riches and long life. And he got a very good start doing great things, a great heritage, successor to the great psalmist King David. And look at verse 1 of 1 Kings chapter 11. "But King Solomon loved many strange women, together with the daughter of Pharaoh, women of the Moabites, Ammonites, Edomites, Zidonians, and Hittites, of the nations concerning which the Lord said unto the children of Israel, Ye shall not go in to them, neither shall they come in unto you, for surely they will do what? Turn away your heart after their gods. Solomon clave unto these in love." Understand that it is not something set in stone. Just because your heart is in the right place today, make no mistake, it can be manipulated to think something very different tomorrow. Amen? I am saying amen because it is true. The heart is a place that where manipulation can take place. You can have very good intentions today, but those intentions have been manipulated to be something different tomorrow. It's of priceless value. It's a place of identification. It's a place of incubation. It's a place of manipulation. But notice, fourthly, its priceless value is linked to the fact that it's a place of determination. Determination. Now, when I use the word determination here, what I simply mean is that the heart determines what you will do. It is a determinant. It sets the course for your actions. And that is why when Jesus often spoke to the Pharisees, he did not just focus on what they did to impress others. He focused on the attitude and the condition of their hearts. Because he understood that what was done externally was of very little to no value, because it was done to be able to impress and please men. But when they got behind closed doors, their actions were very different. Look with me in Mark chapter 7, and you notice what Jesus focused on. Because he knew that when people weren't watching, the things that were done in public would be very different in private. And so he says in Mark chapter 7 and verse 5, he says, the Bible says, "Then the Pharisees and scribes asked him, 'Why walk not thy disciples according to the tradition of the elders, but eat bread with unwashing hands?' He answered and said unto them, 'Well hath Isaiah prophesied of you hypocrites. As it is written, this people honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me.'" He says, I'm not just focused on your external actions, because they mean nothing. Your hearts are not in sync with your actions, and I'm focusing on your heart because it's far from me. It's what's going to determine how you behave when no one else is watching. It's going to be what comes to the surface when time runs its course. And these Pharisees were the same ones who led others to say, "Crucify him." Why? Because their hearts were far from the very beginning. As a matter of fact, Jesus connects it to true worship. That's why he says in verse 7, "Howbeit in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men." Make no mistake about it. God is not impressed with worship that is not coming from the heart. If we are in our church service and we're raising our hands and we're moving to the music and we're all caught up in emotion and emotionalism, but our hearts are far from God, God says, "I reject that kind of worship." That's how important the attitude and the condition of the heart is. That is why the Bible says on multiple occasions to love the Lord your God with all your heart. It says, if you can get that right, the first and greatest commandment, to love the Lord your God in sincerity, in purity, with all your heart, everything else will fall into place. Because it is the determinant. It is what determines your true actions. I don't have to worry about your actions. I don't even have to worry about if you make a mistake or something happens that shouldn't have. Because if your heart is in the right place, it's going to take care of itself. The heart is a place of determination. It's a place of manipulation. It's a place of incubation. It's a place of identification. But notice, it's also a place of what I call solidification. 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 Turn with me in Psalm 112, and you'll get a clearer picture of what I'm pointing out to us here tonight as it relates to the heart and its priceless value. If you look at Psalm 112 and verse number 5, it says, "A good man showeth favor and lendeth. He will guide his affairs with discretion. Surely he shall not be moved forever. The righteous shall be in everlasting remembrance. He shall not be afraid of evil tidings. His heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord. His heart is established. He shall not be afraid until he see his desire upon his enemies. After a person has determined some things, understand that the heart is a place where those decisions are solidified. Where it's as if like you have you put some water in a container to be able to help it to be able to make ice, and you put it in the freezer, and because of the temperature that drops, it that liquid turns to solid. Our hearts are places where, when we make a decision and we determine that's what we're going to do, the heart is the place where it solidifies. It becomes fixed. That is why it's so important to pay attention to the attitudes that find themselves resident in our hearts. Because when that solidification happens, like water that turns to ice, it's very difficult to change. And that is why when the psalmist says, my heart is fixed, and it was fixed in a good place, that's an awesome thing. Amen? My heart is fixed. It is established. It will not be moved in time of difficulty. On the contrary, when our hearts are filled with bad and negative attitudes, listen, they can also be fixed and solidified with that badness. And it's a terrible place to be. We must recognize the value and the importance of our hearts. You recognize, you ever witness a scenario where no matter how much you plead and you beg and you point out the truth of the Word of God to an individual, and it seems like it's water off a duck's back. Seems like it has no effect. It's because of a hardening of the heart. There's been a solidification, and it's as if there is no impact. The heart is a place of identification, incubation, manipulation, determination, solidification. But praise the Lord and bless God, it is also a place of transformation. Amen? The psalmist David in Psalm 51 and verse 10 says, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Thank God that he is in the transformation business. Were it not for God transforming our hearts, being able to perform heart surgery, we would be a mess. Why? Because the same Bible that we read, and Jeremiah says, the heart of man is deceitful and desperately wicked. Above all things, who can know it? So if we are born into this world with this deceitful and desperately wicked heart, it tells me that thank God that there still is a transforming power that can change that heart from a heart of stone to a heart of flesh. And that's what the Bible refers to in Ezekiel. Look at Ezekiel chapter 36 and verse 26. Ezekiel chapter 36 and verse 26 says, a new heart. See where the surgery has to happen? In the heart. A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. And I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and will give you an heart of flesh. That spiritual transformation that takes place none other place but the heart. When I say over and over in preaching that God is involved in heart business, that's what I'm talking about. He's involved in dealing with us in the heart. And if God does not deal with us in the heart, or if he cannot deal with us in the heart, there's no other place for him to function, for him to work. Understand that our hearts our hearts that are priceless in value. Amen? Priceless value. But I want you to turn, draw your attention back to Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 23. Because there are two main thoughts that are striking in this verse. We just dealt really with the latter part of it. Because we emphasize here, in a number of different ways, the priceless value of the heart. The writer here, Solomon, addresses that in the second half of the verse, where he says, for out of it are the issues of life. He says, at the very center of your heart, it's really everything else comes from. Out of it are the issues of life. That's the priceless value. But he says, as a result of this priceless value, you have to engage in a protective venture. Amen? Because this thing is so valuable, listen, you can't put it down anywhere. If you were to have a priceless vase of some sort or something of great value, you're not going to just put it any old place. You're not going to just treat it any old way. And that's why he says here, for out of it are the issues of life, but he begins the verse by saying, keep this heart. Keep thy heart with all diligence. He says, because it is priceless in value, you have to engage in a protective venture. You have to have a strategy that warrants the fact that I'm dealing with something that is very precious. He says, how are you going to do this? How are we going to protect this heart of great value? I'm going to give you four things very quickly. First of all, and most importantly, from the very beginning, you have to give it to the right person. Amen? You have to give it to the right person. And just in case you're wondering, especially those who might be in dating age, I'm not talking about your girlfriend and your boyfriend. I'm talking about giving it to the Lord. Amen? Giving your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ. He has the best plan for your life. Psalm 37 and verse 4 says, delight thyself also in the Lord. It's amazing that so many people think that they lose their life. They lose the best part of their life when they give it to the Lord. It's the total opposite. Newsflash, no person on earth can love you the way Jesus does. If you understand that going in, you won't be so disappointed. But when we elevate people above Jesus, and we think that they can love us and they can fill all the voids and all, when they fall short, we get all bent out of shape. Why? We have to understand human limitation, but thank God that Jesus has no limitations. Amen? And just think about this. I mean, we all like to be loved and to know that we are loved. But for heaven's sake, if we're going to believe that somebody could love us and they whisper all these sweet nothings in your ear that make you feel like you're walking on air, well, How about we believe that Jesus loves us? Amen? The one who cannot lie. All right? For God so loved the world. Amen? If we can believe that loved one, well, let's even more so believe the heavenly one. Amen? If we're going to engage in a protective venture of this heart and to keep it with all diligence, you must give it to the right person. And it means you have to avoid giving it to the wrong person. Amen? And they trample on it over and over and time again. And you give it back to them again and again and again. And Jesus is saying, I'm here. I'm going to love you. I'm going to give you all that you need. Amen? Give it to the right person. By the way, I know we say we give it to Jesus Christ, and that is absolutely true. but even for relationships on here on earth. You got to give it to the right people as well. Amen? You got to give it to people who love the Lord. Amen? Why? Because the love of the Lord is deposited in their hearts. So they understand the love of God, they'll understand how to love you. Amen? They don't know how to love God, then they don't know how to love you. That's the problem. Give it to the right person. But here's the second thing that you got to do. In engaging in a protective approach, a protective venture in this heart that is of great value, you have to generate the right purpose. Psalm 37 verse 4, I gave you the first part of that verse. It says, delight thyself also in the Lord. What does the second part say? And he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Now, here is why you have to generate the right purpose and how you generate the right purpose and why it's so important to, first of all, give it to the right person. When you give it to the right person, he deposits the right plans and the purposes in your heart. Why? Because when he puts those right desires in the heart, then they're going to manifest themselves in the right actions. Generate the right purpose. So many people are pursuing headlong in the wrong direction because the wrong desires have been placed in their hearts. You got to generate the right purpose. It's so important that we have the right goals. We have the right dreams. We have the right desires. And these desires begin in the heart. This protective venture involves giving it to the right person. It involves generating the right purpose. But thirdly, guard it from predators. Amen? Guard it from predators. Back in Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 23, the writer here says, keep thy heart with all what? Diligence. Diligence. The implication here is simply this, that when you have something so valuable, you have to take steps to protect it from thieves. You have to take steps to protect it from those who have no regard for it, who don't consider it priceless and valuable like you do. We practice this principle in our daily lives. Gone are the days in our islands when people don't lock their car doors. Anybody still has a car, still don't lock your doors when you leave? Oh, wow. But it, back in the day, I mean, people will even leave their windows down if no rain is coming. You talk about houses, we're accustomed to leaving your doors wide open. Those days are sadly long gone. Now we have to resort to locking ourselves in our houses, putting up burglar bars and alarms, deadlocks and bolts and cameras, the whole works. Why? Because we are trying to protect our valuables from predators, those who have no regard. Make no mistake about it, when it comes to our lives, there's always somebody who is willing and lurking and looking for an opportunity to destroy your life. That's a thought that should not really just frighten us, but cause us to spring into action. Amen? To guard our hearts from predators. Young girls, I mean, how many times are we going to see this movie? Over and over. Where young men are telling you sweet nothings, making you feel good and walking on air, and you disregard what does he really want. Solomon says there's nothing new under the sun. Ladies, young ladies, that's nothing new. It's been so since the beginning of time. Hormones are running wild. And after he's used you, moves on to the next. That's just the reality of life. Guard your heart from predators. Amen? You say, how you know somebody is a predator? when they motivate you and try to encourage you to do what is wrong. I'm not saying that everybody is labeled a predator for all eternity or for the rest of their lives, but I'm saying every single person can engage in predatory action because that kind of action is focused on selfishness. We must ask ourselves the question, when someone encourages us to do a particular thing, are they really thinking about your best interest or are they thinking about theirs? That's what a predator does. A predator is focused on their own interests. Young people, remember, you're not a spare tire. Amen? Amen and amen. You're not a rag to be used and cast aside, male or female. It may be fun for a season, but that's exactly what it is, for a season. Guard it from predators. Generate the right purpose. Give it to the right person. And finally, guide it to the right place. Guide it to the right place. You say, Pastor, what do you mean guide it to the right place? Turn with me in Psalm 119. And there's several verses that could underscore this. But when we understand that, we're not talking about the physical heart. We're talking about the immaterial heart, the heart that cannot be seen with the human eyes. How do you guide your heart to the right place? As much as being in a church on a Wednesday night and a Sunday morning is a Sunday night and various times in the week is a good thing, I'm not talking just about your physical body being in the right place, as much as that can be an application. But in Psalm 119 and verse 11, the Bible says, "Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee." You guide your heart to the right place by letting the word direct you. Amen? When you let the word of God direct you, when you let the word of God guide you as to what you do and what you don't do, your heart is, as it were, being directed by the GPS, so to speak, of the word of God to the correct place. Psalm 119 and verse 105 says something very similar. "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." You want your heart to get to the right place? Let it be directed and guided by the word of God. Psalm 1, familiar psalm to all of us. "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sit in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night." A meditation here has the understanding that I'm not just reading blindly just to say that I read my allotted passage of scripture for today, but I got in the word of God and I let it saturate my heart. When you let the word of God saturate your heart, you're going to find yourself being directed to the right place. Amen? You have something of great value. You don't put it anywhere. You put it in the right place. That is why the church of the living God, where you hear sound preaching, is a safe place to be. Not just because these walls are special, but because it's a place that is a pillar and ground of the truth of the word of God. And when the word of God saturates your heart, it makes all the difference in the world. As it comes to when it relates to guiding your heart to the right place, got to be careful what things you allow into these ears. What things you allow through these eyes. Why? Because they turn your heart. They direct you to the wrong place. things that contradict the word of God. They lead you astray. They lead you at the edge of the cliff where you are bound to fall off and end up in a ditch and wonder, how did I get here? You forgot about the map. You forgot about the GPS that directs our hearts to the right place. It's a protective venture as a result of understanding the priceless value of our hearts. Solomon says, watch out for this heart. Keep it with all diligence. He says, pull out all the stops. Meaning, don't let any stone go unturned. Don't give any avenue, any crack to the devil to get in. Because listen, if he gets in via a crack, he's going to tear it open. So you got to keep it with all diligence. This is not one of those things where 50% is good enough. Oh man, I'm well above passing grade. I'm 75%. Man, that's a C. He says, keep it with all diligence. Don't give him any avenue. Amen. He says that's how you have to approach this thing. And brethren, that is why when it comes to spiritual business, we have to be careful for those subtle sins that reside in the heart that nobody could see. Things like bitterness, things like unforgiveness, things like just being callous, being indifferent, having a don't care attitude. Why? Because I'm exposing my heart to some things that when they manifest themselves, all of a sudden everybody's shocked. Where did that come from? Man, it germinated so many years ago. And it was growing slowly, little by little, until we only saw it when it became something huge. But that incubation place of the heart, it's been there all along. That's why very little things should shock us these days. When you see something, don't say, well, where did that come from? Just say, well, I didn't see it, but it was germinating and growing in the heart long, long time ago. That's why Solomon says, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. If we could get this heart right, we'd have no problems. And so, may God help us to focus on our hearts. Much care as we give to the external, and we make sure we've taken care of every indentation in our face and make sure everything is all nicely polished and brushed and ironed and pressed. Let's give some care to the heart, for out of it are the issues of life.